Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hi, and welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. On Monday's monologue, I asked for your resolutions and whether you're keeping to them. I got some really good responses, and yes, most people have fallen off the bandwagon of what they had hoped to do in January. A lot of you are restarting your exercise regimens, you're eating healthier, you're trying again, and that's amazing. One response was funny. A listener wrote, "This year, I combined my resolutions for my own form of penance. I vowed to stop taking the Lord's name in vain. Each time I caught myself with an oh my God, I had to do 30 minutes on the Peloton, which I detest. It worked." And you know, I do wonder if something similar would work for me. In the few days since I declared I would do more fiction reading, I committed to one fiction book a month. It's not even that much, but I've read a total of 2 pages. It's a slow start, friends. But now I'm wondering if there should be more, not punishment exactly, but if I should make myself risk something if I don't succeed at my goal. I think some people really do respond to negative repercussions more than they do to the positive reward. And I think I might be one of those people. Like, I've never stolen anything in my entire life because I was terrified of being caught. I would love to tell you that I'm just morally amazing and I'd always thought it was a bad thing to do. But no, even when I was a child, I wouldn't take anything. Just the fear of being caught made me paralyzed and unable to do anything bad. And that works for me. So now I just have to figure out what the punishment would be. And I'll take your suggestions, carolmarkowitzshow@gmail.com. Also send me how you're bettering your life this week. I really love reading all your notes and emails and DMs. So please keep in touch. And I love hearing what you're up to. Coming up next, an interview with Stephen Miller. Join us after the break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T TIKA.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is Stephen Miller. Stephen does the Versus Media podcast on Substack. He is contributing editor at The Spectator and has written for many places, including NRO, Fox News, and The New York Post. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Carol. You have to put in the middle initial because that's important. So people Google this stuff, they think you're interviewing a Nazi.
See, the first thing I was going to ask you is, are you the Stephen Miller?
No, not anymore.
But I mean,
I was for a bit. Yeah. I was for a bit, and then Trump won, and then Trump lost, and now I'm back to kind of being that because he's, you know, until he becomes attorney general, I think I'm okay.
You know, I was the top search result for Carol with a K, and then Pope John Paul, whose birth name was Carol with a K, died, and that was it. He messed up all of my search results because everybody was using his real name. And there's a pop star from Latin America named Carol with a K. So we all have our problems, you know?
Yeah, I have guys on my hockey team who are starting to search. They're like, you know, somebody said, like, you search them, and I couldn't find you. I'm like, oh, I'm very searchable. You just got one letter.
So what is your middle initial?
So, yeah. But
what's your middle initial? I don't even know it.
L.
Stephen L. Yeah. Miller. We'll include that in the, you know, in the bio.
Like, no. You know, people are going to be like, Carol Markowitz is interviewing an insurrectionist. So,
well, I mean, I'm sure I've had an insurrectionist or two on here.
Probably. I mean, you know, depending on circumstances, I could be.
I mean,
I'm just not one after 2020.
Right. So we knew each other in New York, and neither one of us live in New York anymore. That's a big topic of conversation on this show, people moving from places that they lived. How was leaving New York for you? Were you just like, bye?
I miss three big things. I miss my hairstylist. I miss my dentist. Well, she's a barber, like just tattooed to the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's actually a sponsored marathon runner for Nike. And it took me forever to find one, so I missed my hairstylist. I missed my dentist, believe it or not. My dentist was featured in Vogue, and I was one of her very first customers in Brooklyn.
Why are you so fancy?
She's not. It was weird. She's just cool and hip. And so she was right down the block, and she started this little dental practice, and then all of a sudden she's in like a Vogue spread for like dental in Brooklyn or some weird thing.
Okay.
And I still talk to her occasionally just for, you know, stuff. And I miss restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't eat that. And, you know, I think about the lifestyle. Obviously, the neighborhoods like Williamsburg, Brooklyn were just so cool back then. Mm-hmm. And they change and they become different and stuff. So when I got there, it was still kind of sketchy, sort of, but getting cooler, you know, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I left, you know, my place was staring at the construction of a Trader Joe's. And so,
and this is bad somehow.
I don't think it's bad. I am one of these people where I prefer local places. I prefer local businesses, but sure. It's not like I'm going to protest the Trader Joe's. I'm not going to throw red paint on the window.
Right. Well, that's good.
But those are the three things I miss the most. And when I really think back on it, I don't miss much more. Mm-hmm. I moved there in 2010 and things were different. The internet was different. How we connected was different. So I can kind of like go anywhere in the country now and I can still order from stores that I like that in New York City. So like clothes.
Right.
And like that. Mm-hmm. So those are probably the top three things that I actually really find myself missing.
It's funny because growing up in Brooklyn, when a chain would come to your neighborhood, that meant that things were turning around. That meant that things were getting better. Like, I remember McDonald's.
And then they changed out and they kicked the Walmart out.
Well, so yes,
no. You're not coming to Queens. Sorry.
Yes, no, we've never had I don't think they've ever allowed Walmart in New York City, which is, of course, ridiculous. But I remember a friend of mine who lived in East Flatbush was very excited. And McDonald's was opening because there had never been a chain, anything, near where she lived. So it was a... it was seen as a positive, Stephen, and you know, people wanted it to happen.
Yeah, it was weird when I left Brooklyn and I got a little bit more domesticated, still in a kind of suburban urban area. And I saw Chili's and I was like, I realized I haven't seen a Chili's in like 10 years. So, like, yeah. I didn't really go to Target, you know? So it was like a kind of a weird, different thing. It wasn't like getting used to it. It's not like I had some dying need to go to Chili's. And I didn't. I went back to Chili's just because I'm like, I'm going to go to Chili's, like, whatever. I
need
baby back ribs. And so, yeah, it was a little bit of an adjustment, but I was never one of those kind of like, snobs where it's like, I'm a loser and me to go to Walmart. I do prefer
of course
places. I was never like a snob, but I remember the Whole Foods opened on the corner of Bedford in Williamsburg, and that was a huge thing to do. And you go down the escalator and it was the Whole Foods thing, and that was kind of a sign there, and it's like, this is all changing like completely. So
totally, I mean, Williamsburg more than any other place I feel like just blew up so fast and so drastically. So what year did you leave?
I left
COVID.
Just barely before COVID. I had some life circumstances change. So I moved out of Brooklyn, and of course then the pandemic happens, and I look back on that. I look back and say, what could it have been like to have been there during
Hell on earth.
I don't trust it. I'm not sitting here thinking fondly in my diary, but it is one of those things when, you know, you hear about people banging the pots and pans out of their buildings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some of those kind of communal experiences, you know, I thought about. I do think about that sometimes, but yeah, I got out of Dodge just really, I think it was September or October, right before COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So part of me was like, you know, no, I would not have wanted to experience that, but it would have been one of those things looking back where it's like, oh yeah, I guess I was in New York during that.
Right.
And I know you were a casualty of that. And I followed that about, you know, just having the city that you love so much. But yeah, it's not like a fond thing.
No, I get it. It's just be part of the experience. Yeah, right. I completely understand. I have friends who were not in New York on 9/11, but they were New Yorkers, and they were like, I missed it. Like, I missed they're not like, oh, I missed a terrorist attack. Right. But they missed the camaraderie and all of that. And, you know, I totally get it. Also, people who didn't feel the earthquake a few weeks ago, and they feel left out.
Yeah, no. So I went through an earthquake in New York, and it was the one that, I don't know if you remember this, but
I've never ever felt an earthquake.
So it hit Washington, and it knocked the bricks out of the Washington Monument. And that's what, I think this was 2012, 2013. And I've lived on the West Coast. I've lived in Los Angeles. I've never had a hurricane there or an earthquake there.
Uh-huh.
I've lived on the Upper West Coast and no real weather events there. And I moved to New York and I experienced two hurricanes and an earthquake. And then, so I do remember the earthquake from, it was 2012 or 2013. And I had a marble counter in my lounge, and I'm sitting at my lounge and I just feel like I'm having a stroke. I'm like, what is that? Like, what is going on here? And the first thing is, like, when things feel weird, it's like, oh, it's a terrorist attack. And so I do remember the 45-second earthquake from like 20, and that's the one that hit the East Coast, and they had to shut down the Washington Monument because it bricks out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so when people were talking about this earthquake, I was kind of like,
I've done it, whatever. I have never felt an earthquake.
I would be the New York earthquake before it was cool. So
very, very Brooklyn of you.
Yeah.
You play hockey, ice hockey, right?
Yeah.
Is there another kind of hockey?
Oh, I mean, not really. I mean, people try to play roller and people try to. I mean, I don't know if there's like professional field. I know that there is like for high school kids, there's field hockey. But yeah, I grew up playing it. And about 5 years ago, again, in New York City, I just kind of was like, I need to be more active. I need to start. You know, I was kind of missing it. And I was, you know, starting to get to that age where if I don't pick this back up, then I'm never going to do it. So I just kind of took the money. Went to there's a hockey store just in lower, like midtown lower Manhattan, and you just go up an elevator and then it opens up and there's a hockey store, and I hadn't played in God since I was a teenager, so I was just told the guy, I was like, I need gear, so like suit me up and whatever, and that was 2018, I think, and so yeah, like 6 years later, I captained my own team, which I didn't want to do. And so we branded it, and I made one of my French bulldogs the mascot of it.
Just wow.
I can do that. And yeah, it's going well. I play kind of a prison league. So there's a few rinks around, and one of the rinks has like a bar or a restaurant upstairs where you can watch games, and mine doesn't have that. We play in an old airplane hangar.
I'm sorry, because you're playing with prisoners?
No. It's just our rink is known for being like the kind of the prison rink. It's because
just no fun.
Have anything. Yeah. It's just ice. It's ice and it's run by Russians.
Got it. Oh. So, well, yeah, they don't have alcohol. Kind of Russians don't have alcohol.
No, you have to bring yours. So.
Well, yes. Yeah. You can, what kind of sucker buys their own alcohol out? You got to bring yours, obviously. Yeah. You don't do that? You don't bring like a bottle of vodka?
No. No, I don't. My team is funny because I've been on teams where they're just a bunch of fat drunks, and then I've been on teams where they're not. Like my current team now doesn't really even have beers in the locker room anymore, including me. So I kind of stopped doing that. And my team's a bunch of squares right now, but we are winning. So.
Sounds like you're a bunch of old men, actually.
Yeah, not so much. I'm the second oldest on the team. I have a couple of guys in their 40s, and then I have a couple of guys that are in their 20s. So it's all kind of mixed. But I have a few more years of that, and then I'm going to have to probably go to an old man league.
I love it. Are you good?
I think I'm good. I'm probably the third best skater on the team, and it's a competitive league. So there are guys who are faster than me because they're younger than me. I'm great backwards. I have a good head. I'm at that point now where older athletes, which I'm not an athlete, where it's like if I had my brain now and the body that I had 10 years ago, I would have been an all-star. That's kind of where I
am. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm a very smarter player, but I'm also just getting up in age. So I know when I'm losing a step. I saw a personal trainer for a year, which kind of just got me into better shape and just kind of kicked the crap out of me. And then part of the reason I did that was to kind of keep doing some sports. And so
yeah.
I'm in like better shape than I was when I started. I don't feel like throwing up after every shift now.
See, I would say you should try vodka, but whatever. Up to you, really.
Just not skating. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I have a few guys that will do that. They'll load up before again. Now I'm just like, I don't know how you do that anymore.
Yeah. So you seem happy. You seem, I don't know, not that you weren't happy when I knew you in New York, but you maybe even seem happier now. Like, do you feel like you've made it?
I don't even know what happy is. I don't have any
major. You're like happy. I'm not happy.
I don't. Yeah, I don't have any major catastrophes at the moment. So it's like I haven't been hit by a car recently. So, professionally. Especially
whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, professionally, especially with what we do, with things, how things change so rapidly. And, you know, a lot of us went from, like you said, we were writing for New York Post, and I still do once in a while, or National or Fox, whatever. A lot of us have now just kind of branched out into our own things because of the technologies there, and that's kind of where media is. So I never believe in kind of thinking, like, you make it because this could all go away tomorrow. So, you have to be prepared to go be a ditch digger if that comes at you. And so, and I also think you have to be a little hungry in what we do. I think that especially older pundits, older generations, older people who are kind of in the media commentariat are just kind of at this point going through the motions because I don't know if they know if there's any use for them. Either they hate Trump or, the media landscape's at a place to where they just don't feel useful. So you can tell when their heart's not in it anymore. You can see when they're just kind of trying to cash the paycheck. And so I think if it ever gets to that point, yeah, I mean, to say if you've made it, I don't need to go out and do like Craigslist hits or anything like that to get by. So I'm doing enough to keep my life on.
What are Craigslist hits?
Nothing. I can't tell you. So I'm doing enough to keep my lights on, which is for what this is, you know, basically I'm paid for my opinion, which is the only thing I'm good at. So to be able to do that is. I don't know if it's to say like you've made it, but I'm doing enough to where, again, I don't need to go do any kind of sort of menial labor that I don't want to do. That's not a thing on menial labor. I'd love to get
right. I got it. Yeah.
But I don't know as far as being able to make it. I'm doing enough, you know, to where I can do a podcast at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, having to turn in a TPS report.
Right. I like that you put that in East Coast time, because I know, you know, that's the real time. So
yeah, of course it is.
So what would you be doing if you weren't doing this? What would be like a plan B for you?
Oh, God. I don't really believe in plan Bs, just because.
But like, forget about plan B, actually. What's the dream career that you didn't follow? I mean, my jokey one is I always say, like, I would be a DJ. Like, I feel like yeah. I am very good at playing music in a certain, you know, way or in songs in the right order, really. So I think that would be my plan B. I don't know that I would actually do that if things.
I've been doing some form of writing since I was in high school, screenwriting, doing anything, doing poem writing, doing songwriting, whatever. So I think I have the kind of just a natural fit for where the path has taken me. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of came of age a little bit sort of in my 20s through the internet age, through Reddit, you know, when Reddit blew up and Reddit threads and 4chan before it was kind of a Nazi cesspool. There was a time when 4chan was fun. Believe me when I say that. Some of it still is mm-hmm. Through message boards and things like that. So you kind of learn to hone a little bit of, you know, what's engaging about some of those things and what's not. And so I think that just kind of whatever trajectory or path I was on was always just going to kind of develop in some kind of way. So I'm not an Oscar winning screenwriter, but that's fine. I tried that and I couldn't do it. I couldn't be in the industry.
So your plan B would just be a writer? Is that where we've gotten here?
I don't even know. I probably retire to a prepper ranch in Wyoming. That would probably be plan B, which we'll see given the
election. You don't know. Right.
There might be a lot of people buying up land and doing that here in about the next 7 months.
That sounds like plan A, actually.
So yeah, right. I've never really kind of believed in plan Bs. I think it's just to focus on the plan that you're on. It's just, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm clearly maybe, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else, whether it's you, whatever it is, somebody in their career, generally, I think most people believe they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, even if it's hard, even if it's not exactly, you know, what they thought they would turn out to be or anything like that. But that's just talking to people in different professions, where they are, you know, I kind of don't look at it and go, God, no. I could be doing X, Y, Z. You know, I was very fortunate to, you know, have a good 10 years in New York where I was able to kind of, you know, catch on fire a little bit with writing and get noticed by National Review and mm-hmm. had a couple of fun hits on the Gutfeld Show and whatever like that. And I kind of look at that and just kind of say, well, I mean, just act like you're supposed to be doing this, I guess.
Right. I don't think most people do think that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Did you know that several Kardashians do not think that they're supposed to be famous?
Well, thanks, OJ. R.I.P. Pouring out. Yeah, you could thank him for that. That's the worst thing O.J. Simpson ever did, by the way.
But they don't believe that they're meant to be doing what they're doing. They think
they're in a position where they can change their path very easily. If they're like, I don't believe you should be on TV, then what do you believe you should be doing? Oh, I believe I should be a shepherd on an island in Scotland. Well, go do that.
That would be very good television, actually.
Yeah, and go do that. That would be great. So I guess I kind of mean it in a sense of, I don't know. I never really thought about, you know, mm-hmm. should I be doing something else? I kind of look
right. at
you are doing this. It's funny because, you know, my college degree was in interactive media design, which is, you know, front end web, front end graphic mm-hmm. design, making things look pretty on the internet. And as that kind of shifted where I had clients and then kind of a online Twitter persona sort of takes off to the point to where I have to kind of go public if I want to get writing gigs and things like that.
Right.
And I think it was roughly like around 2014, 2015, I started my website, The Wilderness, and then I got picked up by National Review. That was really the point where I'm like, well, you're in this now. Like there's no going back from it because you're going to be Google searchable from here on out. People are going to be able to search your name. Mm-hmm. And then of course, when you start doing media hits and, you know, I've told people this who kind of gotten into activism and they're, you know, they stay anonymous and stuff. It's like, you know, be good at it, be safe at it, but be prepared that any day, you know, yeah. a New York Times reporter is going to knock on your door.
And it's, it never works out.
What do you do then? And so you have to kind of be prepared that if you want to do part-time activism or anything like that, if you want to be anonymous and you start to get serious about it, Libs of TikTok is a perfect example of this, that it may end up being what you're doing. And so that's kind of how I always looked at it. It was like, well, there's no going back to this anymore. No more web clients. I've had journalists poke around to try and find some of that stuff, and it was well hidden. It was in, you know, LLCs and different names. I wasn't a part of it, so it's fine. But like I said, there comes a point when you have to make that decision. I think mine was about, you know, 2014, 2015, where, like I said, it's just, you're not coming back from this. This is going to be your life until it's not anymore, until you're not getting paid to do it anymore. And here we are almost 10 years later, and I'm still doing okay on it.
Did you used to use your initials? Am I remembering this correctly or no?
I just created some dumb shitposting anonymous account when it started, and
I might be remembering it.
We met
when on the internet on the Twitters when I had a I was doing a big house, you know, purge, and I had an Ann Coulter doll, and I offered it up to the internet, and you were like, I will take that Ann Coulter doll. And it's funny because now I met her in Florida. We're friends now. You know, I should have held on to that thing.
Would you like it back?
No, it's okay. You can keep it.
She doesn't talk anymore. It's just
right. Well, the talking was the best part.
Some people might think there's a joke there. But yeah, she's still up there. She's up there. I do have a shelf that's kind of my political memorabilia shelf, and she's up there with an original Anthony Weiner courtroom sketch of him crying while he's reading his apology. I bought the original courtroom sketch of that.
Is a weird purchase.
I have a George W. Bush flight suit Barbie doll. He's still in the box. Nice. He's out there. I have a couple of my media passes, which, you know, just remind me, don't ever act like a filthy journalist. What else is up there? There's a few things that I've kept throughout the years that I've just accumulated. And so she's up on the shelf. She's sitting right there.
I'll let her know. I'll tell her that you still have her.
She's sitting up there with a bust of, you know, a plastic Japanese toy bust of the Ayatollah and Reagan, like looking like David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust.
I love it. We're going to take a quick break and be right back on The Carol Markowitz Show.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So you write a lot about culture. I mean, you write a lot about politics, but what is your biggest cultural concern? Like, where do you think our major cultural problems lie, societal problems?
Oh, geez. I think it's our media. And I know that this is a cliche for someone like me, but when you have interactions from day-to-day people, and they could be different politics, they could be different race, they could be different anything, it's not this kind of fever pitch media environment. And that can be social media. It can be what you see on Twitter X, what you see on Facebook, what you see on Nextdoor, whatever. It's really not that in real life. To give you an idea, I've never had someone, and I'm fairly sociable. I'm not, you know, Mr. Party Guy or anything like that, but I've
seen you do karaoke.
Yeah, I know.
I have video.
I know. And so you're still holding it over me for stuff.
Well, that's why you're on the show, right?
Right. We're gonna insert that clip right in here. I would just be like, look how much weight I lost. I've never had someone introduce me and tell me what their pronouns are, for example. Mm-hmm. So when I say media, I don't mean like just CNN, for example. I mean the pervasive media culture that we live in does not reflect a reality. And I think that that's always the biggest problem. A perfect example that's, you know, might be outdated by the time this comes out is we have the shooting in Chicago of this kid who was pulled over, and then he opens fire, 11 shots on police officers shoot, kill him. And now you have our entire media trying to gas an outrage. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for them to be doing this, is what I mean.
Right.
This is a choice of what they're doing. And so that is something that could very well lead to property damage. It could lead to people injured. It could lead to riots. And they're actively doing this. And that's kind of what I mean about like when culture. So when you say what's one of the worst things
that
culture, I could say, well, race relations. Well, no, you know, I think we're pretty much fine. It's just you have an industry that is actively juicing content to get it out there because either they believe something politically or culturally or whatever. You know, you and I spend a lot of time in kind of online swamps and fever dreams. And I think you have to pull apart some of the things about what is actually important here. So when we talk about women's sports, for example, is that something that looks like it's getting worse? I don't want to say worse, but does it look like something that's getting pushed further and further into the mainstream? Mm-hmm. And I would argue that yes, it is. And so as far as like culturally, like I said, I think for the most part, people are fine. I think for the most part, we're all just kind of like, we all for the most part are trying to get along with each other and stuff like that. But there are forces at work, and it's not just left or right. It's everybody who are actively trying to, you know, keep us pissed off and hating each other.
Right.
And so as far as, like I said, culturally, that to me is a huge problem. And so there has
media is the worst. I mean, I have to agree.
Yeah. And it's for people think that that's a cliche for what I do.
No, it's true.
But yeah. Of course you said media, but I'm trying to explain why it is that way. Right. And the latest example of what we're seeing happen, I think it's in Chicago, is a perfect example of that, that they are pushing this and pushing this and pushing this. And we're seeing like body cam footage, and it's like, don't believe your eyes and ears. Like, no. And you see this and you just go, this is infuriating about what they're doing here, because this is stuff that's going to actually result in real world harm, mm-hmm. In real world public harm. Like I said, you know, people could lose businesses because you have a media that's juicing race riots. You have people who could get killed or injured or whatever, and they're just going to stand there and they're going to put their camera on it and they're going to film it. And then in 3 weeks, they're going to leave. And they're not going
to exactly right. So, that story will be over, and who cares what happened?
Yeah, we'll be on to the next one. You know, they're going to, like I said, kind of. And I know this is dark, but it feels like they're holding auditions for the next kind of summer of 2020. Here, it's like they're combing these cities to find an incident that they can use. And like I said, that's not journalism; that's narrative searching. And so, as far as culture, it's not You know, you can define a lot of things under that, but as far as like what I do and what I see and what we're just actively trying to change, or at least point out and say, see, right here, you're being manipulated. That's really what I believe and where we're at.
I think that we're in a dark place in that way. And I hope that people wake up and fight back against that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop.
Another one that's you're seeing a lot of is this idea of the church. This is one of these things I see, you know, journalists talking about, people in media saying, you know, the church is being taken over by Trumpism or whatever. Like, and I'm not religious, but I know church is a sense of community. Mm-hmm. So when you get to a point where you're pushing that kind of thing, even into churches, where your goal is to get people in church,
separate them,
of who they're voting for. Mm-hmm. I've never really been big on church. I've been to church four times in my life.
And you don't seem like a big Trump supporter either.
No.
Maybe you're actually seeing what's going on there and not.
But church has always not just been about going in and worshiping religion. It's a sense of community, especially in Black communities. This is huge. You go with your neighbors. It's whether you see these people, you see them only at church, but it's still a sense of community. You go there, you sit with them. You worship, and then you walk out and you see their kids, and their kids are running around and they're talking and like whatever.
It's nice. Yeah.
And when you have a section of media who's trying to pierce that sense of community by making everything about whether it's Trumpism or politics, the idea that you're trying to get, you know, suspicious of who in the pew with you is voting for Trump, you better not do that. A lot of that stuff is just so toxic. And that falls under things you see in media where everything has to be kind of connected to the political moment that we're having. And it really doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't have to attribute every single thing back to the political moment, because some people might feel personally betrayed by it.
Right. Not everything is Trump involved, it turns out.
No. And not everything Trump involved is the end of democracy.
Right. Well, I've loved having you on, even though when I asked you to come on my show, you said, oh, fine.
All right. And then you told me 20 minutes, and I was just...
Right. You're like, no, I'm going to go long, actually.
I prepped for the hour. I rearranged the furniture and everything. Yeah, just... All right, let's do it. Come on.
Well, hard
cast.
You know, so end here with your best tip for how my listeners can improve their lives.
Oh, geez.
I can tell you didn't read the email that I sent.
No, I did. I read but even that's one where I thought about it. It's like you were asking the exact wrong person on how to improve your life.
I disagree. I think you've made a lot of really good changes in your life since I last saw you in New York. I think you're looking great. You're sounding great. I did
put on a compound, so because I thought it was going to be an hour. So I wouldn't have done it for 20 minutes.
Right.
I don't know so much about changes. Something I will say that I do is I kind of believe in constantly moving forward or evolving. And what I mean by that is, and I don't say I make a conscious decision, but every year it's trying to kind of learn something new. Last year it was golf. And I've always hit golf, but I'm in a place sort of where there's some courses and you kind of get that itch when you see. And then I went out and I tried it, and it was like I had more pain in my hips than I've ever had in a hockey game. So right. this year is going to be kind of official lessons. Like I said, last year I went through personal training. I just wanted to get in better shape. Mm-hmm. This year I did two things. I got my eye fixed with LASIK, which is kind of an ongoing thing. And the reason I did it is because I bought a gun. I bought my first gun, and I was out on the range with an instructor, and they couldn't figure out my vision as far as like which eye dominant I was.
Right.
My right eye dominant was the worst blurry vision I had. So I kind of...
So they were like, maybe don't shoot with that vision.
Oh, but no, it's been a whole... I have a draft for Spectator Magazine about going through the process of buying a gun. Not just, you know, it's not just you go and you find one you like and then you go and you shoot it and you learn so much about yourself. You learn which handed. It's funny because I'm right-handed, but I learned I'm a left-handed shooter. You know, you learn about your eyes, and now I had to get my eye fixed because I don't want to be blind.
Right.
Learn about accuracy, you learn about speed, and you learn about just everything. You learn about the mechanics of it. It's fascinating. And so I guess like that's my thing, is every year it's try to do something that's either new or evolving or something that challenges you to kind of step out a bit. But again, you're really asking the wrong person. I will say that.
I, again, will disagree. He is Stephen Miller. He thinks you should be moving forward. And I think that that's really good advice.
Turn off the TV.
Yes. Thank you for coming on, Stephen. Catch his podcast, the Versus Media Podcast, on Substack and read him all over the place. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thanks, Carol. It's good to see you again.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.